demanded an urgent and horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news, and I got some bad news.
Now, this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, big story of the day. And I know it's just supposed to be one story, but I have two things I want to hit. One, preseason rankings from CBS Sports. I want to get into that in a moment. But Cleveland Browns situation. Kevin Stefanski said today that Deshaun Watson remains the leader of the team even after the quarterback was removed from Sunday's game against the Colts. He was cleared to play. He left in the first quarter. He took a big hit from a Colts defensive end. He cleared concussion protocol, but Stefanski said, no, we're gonna stay with P.J. Walker for the rest of the game. And for the second straight week, Angel, P.J. Walker led the Browns on a game-winning scoring drive. He had a beautiful throw downfield to ultimately set up the Browns. And the Browns are 4-2. They came back to defeat the Colts 39-38. What do you make of this? I mean, he's your big money guy. You're almost held hostage by this. You have to play Deshaun Watson, but P.J. Walker came out of nowhere and is kind of showing some resiliency here as he helped the Browns for 2 weeks in a row get a win. But this is the problem with paying the high money like that. If they don't work out, sometimes the lesser quarterback still gets to start no matter what. And I don't know where Deshaun Watson is at this stage, but he didn't look very good in that game. He didn't look good last week. And Stefanski decides to just go with the backup.
Maybe these spring football leagues are good for something.
Is that
he
where
did come from the XFL?
Oh, he did. Who did he play for? The Warbats or
Wombblazers? He was with the first iteration of the new XFL, so not last year, but a couple years ago.
Okay.
And I think he may have been in the USFL the last few years as well, but a guy that kind of used his second chance.
What do you do if you're the Browns? You're 4-2. You're 4-2 right now. You have an opportunity to make the playoffs, but it seems like P.J. Walker. Now, he didn't make a lot of great plays yesterday, but he made the plays that mattered. And the Browns get the dub. But do you just say, no, we're going with the guy that's getting the cash right now?
It's tough. I mean, I think there's the balance of how much you're paying this guy and the position he plays versus the public perception of him. I don't know if he will ever be able to right that wrong, guilty or not. His reputation has taken a hit, and he, in terms of on the field, he is not playing like Deshaun Watson used to play.
Mm-mm, no. No, he's not the same guy. He's had moments of that, but he's not the same guy. But if you're Cleveland, you're at an interesting point in your season. You're 4-2. Playoffs are very much a reality for you right now. So, I mean, in week 8, are we already there? We're already in week 8. Who do the Browns have? They're going to Seattle this weekend. In Seattle, 4-2. Geno Smith doing just enough. Just enough. Having a decent season. Just enough to stay in tier 2, which Tanner disagrees with me on, but 1,400 yards, 7 touchdowns, 4 picks, and you're 4-2.
I saw Noah Fant got a big catch in that game.
How about that? Seattle just rolling. Interesting week in the NFL, and I want to get to that, but how about some power rankings? When it comes to NBA preseason, CBS Sports coming out with theirs. Denver Nuggets, number 1. They are playing tomorrow night. And I always credit TNT, but their little graphic that they have, NBA season tips off tomorrow night, and it's got like LeBron and, you know, I don't know, a few other guys on there.
Nothing, you know, you put that in your pipe, you smoke it.
Nothing about the Nuggets. The returning champs are playing tomorrow night for their ring ceremony. I'm not going to do this all year. I'm not going to do it. Fine. You don't want to do the right thing and market the champs now, and you want to market LeBron, who's 97 years old. Fine. I'm not going to do this all year.
Brady, it's year 22. The king is still here.
Nah, I can't do it.
Damian in the Bucks. Oh, here we go.
Those are all
fine. Do you see what Phoenix is doing?
Those are all good stories. They are. They're big stories, but the biggest story is the Nuggets are the champs. That's your best team in the league. So CBS coming out saying Nuggets are the team to beat. Celtics at number two. They have the Bucks at three. The Suns at four. So the Suns all the way down fourth. Lakers at five. Cleveland at six.
Who did the Lakers get
I don't know.
In the offseason?
I don't know.
Nobody. It's the same team. They going to throw Rui back out there for an adjustment?
What did they? I mean, you got Austin Reeves.
Okay, he'll disappear because he had a big flashy season. He's gone.
LeBron and Davis have been talking about losing to the Nuggets. They were talking about it and how they didn't like it.
Play 82 games this year. Play 82 2K games if you want to.
I don't. Again, this is just going to be the hype train. I wouldn't be surprised if tomorrow night's game's like no defense at all. Just two teams going off, exploding offensively.
I think it's the opposite.
I think
the Nuggets run away with this.
No, I think they win. I mean, they're 4.5-point favorites. I could see them winning by 10, but I think it's going to be like both teams in the hundreds. I think it's going to be like, could be like 120 to 114 or something like that.
We could be resting starters midway through the fourth quarter.
You think it's a blowout like that?
Yeah. In front of our crowd with the rings on, with the banner
in the
rafters?
Lakers are on, they know they're on TNT. They got something to prove to come out. I think it's
going
to be.
They know the announcers will be on their side.
I think it's going to be an offensive explosion tomorrow. I really do, but I do think the Nuggets are going to walk away with this thing. Cannot wait. Can't wait to get to this game tomorrow night. So Lakers at 5, Cavs at 6, Kings at 7, Warriors sitting at 8. Boy, the Warriors are going to have some ongoing drama, though, right? The Klay Thompson thing. And not sure if they're going to be able to renew him. I think that's going to be a story that carries over. Klay's going to be a free agent after the season, right? And I'm wondering if... And he's not necessarily the same guy he was before his injuries. So the Warriors might be in a position where they feel comfortable moving on from him. So that's going to be a story around them. 76ers coming in at 9. Knicks at 10. Knicks are a gritty team. Clippers at 11. Heat at 12. The team that was in the NBA Finals is sitting at 12. According to CBS Sports. Hey, listen, I don't know about 12, but I think the Heat surprised a lot of people and did something crazy. That is the team, unlike the Nuggets. I think the Nuggets earned that spot, and they're great. Obviously, the Heat earned it, but I'm not looking at the Heat going, oh, yeah, they'll do that again. I look at the Nuggets and go, I don't care if it was a weird year in the East and you ended up playing the Heat. This was the last year was the Nuggets year. You swept the damn Lakers. You ended up walking away from the Suns series pretty easily. So, but with the Heat, yeah, they got something to prove. They have something to prove. Then it's Pelicans, Timberwolves at 14, Hawks, Mavericks. Mm. I'm going to see if this Luka Kyrie thing works after an offseason.
And if it doesn't?
Then somebody's going. Somebody's going.
Somebody's coming here.
Who? But then who's going there?
Don't matter.
Somebody,
Luka, it doesn't
somebody's got to go there, Angel, and you know who that somebody is.
I'd be okay with it. That's somebody that we're sending away. He's got a championship ring because of us.
That somebody, though, I don't think will leave without Malone freaking the hell out. Jamal Murray.
We're talking about two different people.
Are you talking about Porter?
Yeah.
Oh.
Which I would be totally fine.
Porter and Kyrie team up in Dallas, bring Luka in to be the point guard, put Jamal at two?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
That's gonna happen.
It could. But
no, it's going to.
You think you
have to verbally manifest that.
But MPJ's your guy.
He is. My guy's got a championship ring for it.
But you're ready to be done with him after
not
this
ready
year.
To be done, but I'd be okay with it.
I don't know if it would work.
Because I know he would go to another team and never win another championship. And it'd be, hey, you got your one here.
I don't know if it would work, Angel.
Don't know until you try.
Luka, Jamal, and Joker. I am curious because I didn't watch a lot. Toward the end of the season, when we were kind of on playoff watch, I did kind of watch Luka and Kyrie to see if it worked. And in spurts, it looked really powerful. But then through long stretches of the game, it just was that old adage of there's not enough basketballs on the floor. Grizzlies are sitting at 17. They got some bad news over the weekend, though, with Steven Adams. He's done for the year. I love Steven Adams. Big Steven Adams guy.
Thunder at 18, Bulls at 19, Jazz 20, Pacers, Magic, Raptors, Nets, Rockets, Blazers, Hornets, Spurs, even with Wimby there, who's 9,000 feet tall. Pistons, Wizards are picked to be the worst team in the NBA. NBA season tips off tomorrow night. Can't wait. 16 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out real quick. Take a short break here. I want to get into how about the Air Force Falcons? Let's talk a little bit about that. Undefeated college football team. The best team in the state of Colorado. That's Troy Calhoun's Air Force Falcons. More of that coming up next. It's a whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Friday night plans? We do. KFKA's Game of the Week, presented by A1 Organics.
What's up, guys? It's Jack Howell, safety for the green and gold. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Just how good are the Air Force Falcons? I look at football a lot, Angel, and I know college is a little bit different sometimes, but I do look at the Chiefs and the Eagles, and even if they're not blowing teams out and they're winning by inches sometimes, tush-push type deal, they find ways to win. And Air Force has never been a team that's going to cover crazy spreads. They're never going to be a team that just blows a lot of teams out on a consistent basis. They've had some blowout wins this year, but they just do enough to win the game. I mean, they just figure it out. They play within the game. They get that deep 94-yard touchdown pass from Zach Lerier, the longest pass in Air Force history. But that was about, you know, half of their yards right there, more than half. That was almost as many yards as Navy had the entire game. But that's just Air Force's style, man. And I'm always enamored by it. I'm always blown away that every single year it's this triple option. It's just a smaller offensive line because they have to be that small. The way they figure out, formulate their game plan every single week, and you know it's coming. Every team they go up against, Angel hates playing them because it's a completely different style of football. But you know it's coming. But no amount of preparation can stop it. Wyoming certainly had opportunities to beat Air Force, but that's what you're hoping for when you go up against Air Force, is that they're going to mess up a snap or two. They're going to have a fumble. They're not putting the ball in the air very much, so the chances of getting interceptions are very difficult. So tough to beat, and that's who Colorado State has this weekend. That could be, I don't know, man. I don't know. That could be ugly. I'm looking at the early lines. That's this Saturday at 5. Air Force is a 12-point favorite. They were 10.5 to an 11-point favorite against Navy. I do like what CSU's doing overall. They're 3-4. There's still a chance to get into a bowl game. The idea of finishing at the top of the conference is all but gone. Now, again, CSU goes and does something crazy and beats Air Force in Wyoming the next 2 weeks, then who knows? But Colorado State's making strides. This year is the year where the goal is a bowl game. If you get really close, 5 wins, I think you can walk away. Some fans, depends on who you ask, can walk away and say, all right, we're on the improve. But it is, I mean, you're 3-4, 1-2 in the conference. You don't really control your own destiny anymore. You do have to pull, let's say you pull off an upset and beat Air Force. Then you're going to need Air Force to lose again down the road. Same kind of story with Wyoming. But Air Force is going to be a very, very tough game. CSU has kind of struggled against the run. I thought they were going to have UNLV, though. I thought, man, that 55-yarder was going to be enough to win this game. And it wasn't. Squib kick, UNLV marches right on down the field and gets the dub. Now, they gave up 138 rushing yards to UNLV. Defensively, I mean, dude, you held UNLV. I think they got one touchdown, but the rest were field goals. You kept holding UNLV to field goals. So there were certainly opportunities. The defense was not amazing, but they weren't the big problem there. Man, I loved CSU running the football for a while there. That was cooking. Van Shield had 11 carries for 90 yards, and Avery Morrow, 18 carries for 49 yards and a touchdown. He had a nice touchdown run. Braden Fowler, Nicolosi, no interceptions. But it wasn't enough to beat UNLV. It was an eight-point spread. You went into Vegas, into the Raiders Stadium, and duked it out with a top team, 6-1, 3-0 in the conference now, UNLV. I still don't think they hold a candle to Air Force. But the fact is, Air Force was more than a touchdown favorite. And CSU battled it out. Now, Air Force the rest of the way for them. They're at Colorado State this weekend. That game's going to be on CBS Sports Network. Then they have Army. Then they're at Hawaii. Home against UNLV, which I suppose will be a test. And then Boise State. Now, Boise State, could they figure things out, turn it on this weekend, or turn it on that weekend against Air Force? Maybe. But you look at Army. Army's, what, 2-5 right now? Falcons are going to have every opportunity to go to finish the season undefeated. They're ranked 19th, Angel. We talked about this a little bit last week. I don't know. I mean, UNLV suddenly becomes a decent win if you can beat them. This goes into that conversation we have as being a Mountain West team, given the current structure of the college football playoffs, you could go undefeated, win a marquee game or two, and still maybe not even crack the top 10. Unless there's a Michigan in there or a big time team that's going to be a top 10. Air Force won't have the schedule. They won't have the resume. They were 22 last week. They moved up three spots. So go undefeated. I could see them finishing at 15 or 14. Now, take this year and put it to next year, the Mountain West would be strong and there'd be a ranked team. Air Force would be in the college football playoffs based on what's happening right now if they can do this next year. So that's what's really exciting about the revamped college football playoff scene is you are going to see Air Force and maybe Boise State and maybe Wyoming and hopefully Colorado State potentially start seeing some of these teams get in the mix, make a name for themselves. But I think Air Force, okay, best team in college football, Georgia, right? Michigan?
It's either Michigan or Florida State or Ohio State.
You're going Florida State, best team, because Georgia's schedule?
Yeah, I don't see Georgia as dominant as they've been in the past. I mean, they'll be number one until they're proven otherwise, but
they'll finish number one.
Best team right now, I'd probably say Michigan.
What do you think the point spread would look like this weekend, Air Force, Florida State?
Probably Florida State 13.5.
It's not bad.
Or is it at home or?
Let's just say it's at Florida State.
Yeah, 13.5.
That's strong. Would you put that up against Michigan too, something like that, for all these top five teams? And that's really freaking strong, man.
And that's just because these better teams just have better offenses and they will score points better.
Yeah.
Or score points more.
You get up 7-0 to Air Force, you don't fully take them out of their game. You go up 10-0 or 14-0, now you're starting to, okay, can we keep running the ball like this? There's a certain point threshold. Like San Jose State? Was up by 11 on Air Force right before the half. And you're thinking, ooh, they go in an 11-point deficit here in the second half. Does that change how they're going to play the game? Well, fortunately for them, I think they scored or got a field goal and made it a little bit tighter before the half, and then Air Force does their thing, but they're most of the time they're just not going to score quickly. But they're a fun, make no mistake about it, they're a fun football team. They're fun to watch, and this is one of the better years I remember of the triple option and the way they carry out all these unique handoffs. And then when they do occasionally throw, it looks so good, you wonder why they don't do it more. But that's just, this is the style. Because we want to own the clock. Our philosophy is run the ball, own the clock, don't turn it over, and we got a good chance to beat anybody in the country. And I would say plus 13.5 on the road against a Florida State or a Michigan or a Georgia would give you reason to believe that they could go beat anybody in the country. Be tough, tall task, but it's rolling right now. Air Force is good, really freaking good. And congratulations to Zach Larrier. We're going to give him my Zvi Brewing Player of the Week. It was either going to be him. I was leaning toward P.J. Locke coming in, getting an interception to end the game. But Larrier was supposed to be out for several weeks and then just is like, I'm good. I'll play. And then he makes a little history. Longest pass ever. So we're going to give it to Zach Larrier. 31 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All right, Angel, you got a picture of the City Edition jerseys for the Nuggets. Why? There's so many different jerseys now. And now you got the City Edition one, and it's just weird looking. Big old box numbers there, and it just doesn't really do it for me. I don't know why we have to have all the... Are they wearing those tomorrow?
No. So the NBA, they do their home and away jerseys, and then usually the last couple of years they've done two alternate jerseys. And that's either one of them is the NBA City Edition, and then the other one, later to be revealed, will be a different offshoot of that. But this year's NBA City jerseys are being created by Nike, and they're awful. They're just terrible. There's no creativity with a lot of them. It's a lot of just solid colors. Nothing really spots out for it. Like the Nuggets one it's a blue, faded blue mountain on a black jersey with 5280 on the front, and that's about it.
Yeah.
No skyline, no rainbows, no powder blue, which I keep begging for.
Yeah, I don't know. I do kind of like the, what is it, like the red ones or the maroonish looking ones?
Flat iron reds.
That's pretty cool.
Those were nice.
I like that because it's really unique.
I like the city ones they did last year, the white ones.
Yeah.
With like the red trim on them. I like those. Because it had like the Union Station lights on it, and it was kind of an homage to the city. This 5280, we know it's on the floor. We know where we're at.
Yeah. Well, they're really owning that, aren't they?
We couldn't get some gold or something. Like, we just want a championship. We want some gold.
They
want
to own that. They want to own
it. That's our whole thing is Nuggets with pickaxes, and we're looking for nuggets of gold. Give us gold.
Who's their sponsor, by the way? Do you
know yet?
And you think it would be a terrible look if McDonald's was the sponsor?
It would be a terrible look.
McNuggets, McDonald's, Nuggets on there.
Denver McNuggets.
Yeah. I think that'd be great. Can't wait for tomorrow night. Score prediction tomorrow night.
95.
Oh.
To 88.
Oh, you're going low scoring in this.
Yeah. Both teams a little sloppy first game. You don't want to show off too much.
See, I think the defenses are going to be sloppy. I don't know.
I don't know if Nuggets, like, that's defenses, like, I know they're not great at it, but, like, that's their thing is focus on defense, energy on defense.
Jamal's talking about, like, I don't think it's going to click right off the bat. I think he's playing a little game. Harrison Wynn tweeted out the quote from Jamal. I think it's going to be a different year. We're going to mess up a lot. Not as sharp as we're used to being, or the consistency that we're used to. Talking about opening night tomorrow. We'll see.
Well, I think there's definitely rust for your just first game back, first real action. You know, we haven't seen this team really play with that kind of energy since June. So can you bring that energy up? I know it's the vibe
it's the
is going to be great
yeah.
in the ring ceremony, but I also know this team is ready to just
be done with that and look toward the next one.
I still think it's weird the ring ceremony stuff happens. First home game of the next season, because I agree with you. I think mentally you're ready to close that book, but you can't do that until you get the ring ceremony done.
I'm excited just to see what the rings look like. Like, what kind of cool little homages do they do to the season and the city? What, like, how many diamonds are for whatever? You know, a diamond for each Jokic horse or something?
Yeah.
Some cool stuff. A Joker card? I don't know.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it'll be cool. I'm excited for it. I think it's going to be – I think defense is going to be a little shaky tomorrow, and we're going to see – I think it's going to be high scoring, but the Nuggets pull away in the fourth quarter.
Oh, just the banner up there with the Avs banners. That's going to look just, oh, we're finally
raising a banner. Pretty special. What's not special is sometimes like Sean Payton's responses to questions. Somebody had asked him a question about, apparently there's this unique stat, Angel. The Broncos had blown 10 straight games with a halftime lead. The most in NFL history. Three of those came this year under Sean Payton. He was asked about ending that streak, and he was upset by it because the Broncos were up. So technically, yeah, they had the 9-0 halftime lead, and they held on to win. So if they would have lost, it would have been number 11. Here's what he had to say. My team hasn't blown 10 straight. You said your team. So let's start and say the Denver Broncos historically. I don't pay attention to that, Payton told a reporter. That's you own everything now. You're the head coach of the Broncos. You own
it's
that.
It's not
stuff.
George Payton's team. It's not Russell's team.
Like,
I think it's the Pender Group's team because they're just keeping their hands
listen,
off.
If we cover the team and follow the team, and fans know about the Broncos, they know about their history. They know. They know you weren't responsible for 10 straight games with a halftime lead and giving it up. But they don't really need you to say, hey, no, let's be clear. That's not me. That's you guys. That's this crap fest, the worst coaching job in history.
I was
going to
say, is that another undercard shot at previous coaches?
You just won. Just say, no, it feels great. And even if you wanted to throw the side of, you know, obviously I wasn't here for a lot of those, but I contributed because we did have some losses where we were up at halftime. But he snaps. My team hasn't blown 10 straight. You said your team. So let's start and say the Denver Broncos historically. I don't pay attention to that. Seems like you pay plenty of attention to it. You had that response ready. You said your team. That's not my team. It wasn't my team last year. That's silly, man.
Seems like he likes the media when he wants to, but not whenever they want him to like him.
Well, and Troy Rank was the guy who asked the question, and he said this team. He didn't say your team. He said this team. He said this team had blown 10 halftime leads in a row, the most in the NFL. What did it mean to break it? He said, I don't pay attention to it. It's not my team. It was. It's the Broncos. Oh, geez. He said Rank mentioned it and said if it was good to see the Broncos get over the hump, and Payton just could not get away from the thinking that he was involved in the seven other halftime blown leads. He said it wasn't our hump. I'm saying that respectfully. It wasn't our hump. We're trying to win. Broncos PR mentioned to me, and I thought it's one of these, all right, what's next? Meaning in New Orleans, we hadn't won a playoff game on the road. The good teams don't have those issues, and the teams that aren't as good have halftime whatever, Payton said. He said, quote, your team would not be the right word for it. So anything else? Payton said. How petty can you be?
I don't think I've ever heard a coach talk like that after a win. Like, frustrated, sure, but that seems a little like, what are you really trying to say, Sean?
I was not involved in all those bad years. This is it, this year. I'm involved in three of
them. You showed up promising, you know, well, we'll be mad if we don't make the playoffs.
Whatever happened to owning the culture of being a head coach, and now you own, in the moment, you want to break all these things. Like when Jay Norvell goes to CSU, and we say, your bitter rival is Air Force in Wyoming. What if he were to say, well, that's not my rival. I haven't played him yet. You know how pissed CSU fans would be? I get that you haven't played him before. Well, you have, but you haven't played him as a rival because he coached with Nevada. But your response cannot be, well, they're not really my rival. I haven't played them as a rival. They were never my rival in Nevada. UNLV was our rival.
No, you have to embrace it. The good, the bad, and the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. You have to embrace that. And I think with Peyton, just you don't. Nobody's saying you're responsible. Troy Rank is saying this team had lost 10 in a row after being up at halftime. Care to comment?
Whoa! It's not my team.
Golly, dude. Even in a win, you got to make it kind of about yourself that you weren't responsible for all those losses and that it wasn't your team. He did say this team. You heard what you wanted to hear. This is Sean Payton, dude. Just every week, there's just something weirder with this guy.
Was he wearing a hat?
Probably. Visor.
Which logo was on that hat?
It's probably a Bronco, Angel. Probably a Bronco. You own the Broncos now. Like, you are, you immerse yourself in the good and the bad. Like I said, Emmanuel Sanders said, embrace the suck. Well, you're the head coach of this. Yeah, it was great to do that. Obviously, I wasn't a part of all those, but I contributed, and it was great for us to snap that. That's a mental thing for us, and we're pumped about it. That's what you say. Jay Norvell, excited for your rival game coming up against Wyoming? This was last year's question. Yeah, very excited. I've played Wyoming over the years, and now I'm really excited to embrace this rivalry and what it means to go up against that team up north. That's what you say to make your fans feel better. My team hasn't blown 10 straight. You said your team. No, he said this team. So let's start and say the Broncos. But by the way, I don't pay any attention to that crap. Sure had a lot to say.
Did you hear his question or his statement about sushi?
No. Oh, yeah. He
said that was a good win for us. Thing. And yet I'm driving home last night headed to get sushi. I don't like sushi and finding myself like circling around the parking lot like, all right, why can't I be happy? Well, you're searching for that perfect game. I don't know about you, Sean, but sushi makes me pretty happy.
I want to like sushi. I just can't do it.
I love it.
It looks good.
It's delicious.
I taste it, and I want to vomit. I don't know. Something about it. Why can't you be happy? Because you barely beat a bad team, and you're 2-5. Happiness might come as far as in-game success. But it just seems like there's a... always something in the back of this guy's head. He's ready to pounce. He's ready to make an interesting statement here. Throw somebody under the bus there. Shift blame. Nobody's blaming Sean Payton for 7 of the 10 straight games with a halftime lead and blown the lead. But it's just a... is he a part of the Chiefs thing? No. He's only lost 1 time to the Chiefs. So if a reporter says, hey... if they beat the Chiefs, let's say they beat the Chiefs, what did it mean for you to break the streak? What is it now? 15, 14?
I believe it's 16. 16?
What does it mean to break the streak of 16 losses in a row to the Kansas City Chiefs?
Well, none of that was me. So it's fine. I don't pay attention to that.
Just play along, dude. It's not going to kill you to play along. Oh, it means everything. That team's clearly had our number. As a Broncos organization. And for us to make this season the year we snapped that, that's something we can build off of. But instead, it'll probably be more of an answer like that. I don't like that stuff. McClain, my favorite is... oh, talking about the Nuggets. My favorite is the Skyline Blue with the yellow Mile High City lettering. I don't even really have a favorite. I have a Nuggets uniform because they change them so often. It's just like, oh, something else.
I know a lot of people like the black Skylines with the rainbow that they wore in the bubble.
Yeah, yeah.
Those ones are really nice.
Those are cool.
I actually like the white ones more with the rainbow and the Skyline on it. The ones they did a few years ago was like a weird mix match of different eras of Nuggets. It looked a little weird, but...
I still like the red ones. And did you like the mellow stuff? The mellow, what I always think of was mellow.
The powder blue.
The powder blue.
I love those.
I did at the time, but then I kind of got
give me
out
that
of it.
With like that script Nuggets logo. Yeah. That would be nice.
I got to take a look at some of these. Well, County Swami, why is he so damn combative about everything? I was all in, but man, it's kind of annoying. That's kind of just who this guy is. He's combative about everything, and nothing's really his fault. And
I'm going to say Bounty Gate.
Not even then. Tried to shift blame there, even though it all happened under your watch, and then you kind of tried to cover it up. This is who you got. All the concerns that I outlined before this guy came to Denver are still there, and this is kind of part of who he is. 49 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll wrap up hour number two. In the third hour, I'll get to some Colorado Avalanche stuff. They are rolling. We'll finish up kind of recapping Broncos-Packers. And then Nuggets tomorrow night. We'll look at that, and then what did we learn? It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Scores, interviews, and more. Preps Rewind with Mike Danson. Saturdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, a former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Angel, Angel, Angel. Not a fan of the tush push, huh? Just don't like it. You don't like it.
I don't like it. It's an effective football play. I understand why it's hard to defend. I don't like that the defenses can't really do much to stop it other than don't let up 8 yards on a first and nine or whatever.
Don't give them a fourth and one.
I get that.
Yeah, it's pretty much.
When you do it three times in a row, it's demoralizing.
How do you combat that?
I don't know. Because, like, what I saw from the Dolphins last night is Kelce gets down on the ball, and then there's, like, three linemen right underneath the ball almost with both their hands in the dirt. And as soon as that ball snaps, you have to get under Kelce, who's already a massive man, and then there's three other guys on top of him, and they're already moving forward because their momentum is just there. And then you get the push, and then it's just tough. I don't know how you stop it.
Here's the one thing. Here's, like, the overall, I don't have a problem really with the play, but the concept of forward progress bothers me because a defense can hit a running back. Maybe they ran for 2 yards, you hit the running back, and then you start driving him backwards. Well, no, he's not losing yards now. It's where you made contact because it's forward progress. When did his forward progress stop? So defenses are not allowed to drive an offensive player backward, but an offense is.
Offenses are not allowed to pull a person forward. So, like, you couldn't pull somebody into the end zone.
Like, but
you could push them into the end zone.
Well, Reisner did that thing where he grabbed Philip Lindsay and, like, mm-hmm. threw him in. Did they deem that that was illegal later on?
Yeah, you're not allowed to, like, illegally move the ball forward.
But see, my biggest thing has always been if a running back hits the linebacker and they hit him, the offensive line can come up essentially like a tush push, just a different form. They can just start pushing that running back forward, and you could push him all the way to the end zone if it worked out. It'd be very hard to do that, but you could. When he ultimately goes down, he's down at that spot. Defensively, though, you and me could go hit the running back at the same time, start driving him back 5 yards, and it's forward progress. I understand that you're more if you're going forward and then they start pushing you back, yeah, your knees could bend awkwardly and you could tear things. But when you're going forward, pushing them forward, your knees bend naturally that way anyway. However, I've seen plenty of times where running backs just kind of get lost in it and their legs are in the air and they're still going forward. Mm-hmm. Injuries can happen in both of those scrums.
Oh, and then with the tush push, when is the quarterback down if he is laying on top of his lineman and the running backs are just coming up and pushing the pile? Like, okay, he's technically not down, so you can't call him down. You can't call forward progress because they're still pushing.
Yeah.
It's frustrating.
I don't hate it. I kind of like, I think it's unique, and I always like when unique things pop up and teams find ways to take advantage of it. But my thing is the overarching forward progress. give if you're going to keep the tush push going and you're going to allow offensive linemen to get up behind a running back and push them forward, then you should allow defenses to drive a guy back. And maybe not till they fall down, but if I hit a running back and then I drive him back 3 yards and he's still kind of churning, then you call, okay, forward progress stopped here. That'd be hard to do. I get that.
When the lines clash and there's a pile and the pile's not moving for like 2 seconds and then it starts to move, like, stop. Like, you just ran to a wall. You can't just keep pushing the ball.
How about this? How about what was the game before? Was it Giants and Commanders? Taylor was kneeling the ball. And so he's just standing there and he's purposely not kneeling. And he's just holding he's hovering his knee above the ground. Finally, the ref just calls the play over. And Tyrod Taylor looks up at the ref. He's like, dude, I didn't kneel it yet. He's like, yeah, but I mean, what is your response there? Because he's not giving himself up yet. He hasn't knelt the ball. Nobody's touched him. He could be able to sit there and hold his knee up above the ground. That's another interesting one, because when was he down? The NFL, just football has some unique rules. Tush push certainly opening up a unique conversation. Final hour of the show coming up next. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.